All right. We have made it to Friday. Give yourself a round of applause, pat on the back, have a drink, whatever it is that you do to celebrate. Because it's time. You made it to Friday. All right, so, busy week, hell of a week. Simpiwe and I are both pretty exhausted, and that's always a good thing. You know why?
Yes.
It means you are important and necessary in the world. Because if you are working and somebody needs you, then you have purpose.
Don't say that. Some people just like live in, you know, absolute luxury and they don't worry about anything. So, and they are very important.
I was watching this video yesterday about this dude who, he's got like a whole bunch of government tenders and he lives in this huge big house. Yeah. And he's got like different high profile girlfriends all the time and everything else. And you think, wow, what a life. And then they show these situations where he was in front of the state capture commission and he's like having to answer these terrible questions because the person who's interrogating him says, and this government minister, oh no, that's a friend of mine. And why did you pay them 1.7 million rand? He's like, they're a friend. And I'm like, oh, you guys just don't know what you're doing. You know what? I would rather, like I often say to people who live in countries where they've got massive violence, immigration problems, all kinds of other stuff. I mean, we've got our problems too, right? And I'm not going to make light of our problems, but I always go, yeah, I'd rather have our problems. So the same goes for, like, would I want that BEE tender money? Of course, all of us would immediately go, yeah. But do you want the problems that come with that? The friends and the enemies you make? The fact that you've got a target on your back?
I don't know about that. I really don't. No. But, you know, I'm at that stage in my life where I'm like, maybe let me just try. Let's see what this problem... Like, I'm just like, yeah, I don't want that problem, but maybe, Gareth, it's going to be worth it. Like, 100 million.
I don't know. I mean, so there are three things that you and Ben all said you want to talk about this morning that all kind of relate to this, which is why I think we've got to start with it, because people are talking about the richest South Africans. There's a list that's been published this week. They're also talking about the no money millionaire, which is either something to aspire to or it's complete bullshit. You either have to learn that it is better to live with less and that it doesn't matter how much money you have. Learning to live with less is actually what you should be after. And then there's the story of you're telling me that Ocean Gate, that terrible situation with that submarine and all of those people who were killed in that submarine accident, Ocean Gate 2, you know, you say 2.0. There's another one coming. You got to tell us about that in a second.
Mm-hmm. I feel like billionaires never learn. But also they're billionaires, like, you know, they have all the time, the money and the resources to like fuck around and find out. And basically, yep, there's this billionaire guy. I think his name is like Clyde Palmer. And he wants to like rebuild the Titanic. And then basically, this is Titanic 2.0, where he's going to rebuild the Titanic and then go on the voyage. And we all know how Titanic ended. So I'm just like, yeah, we'll see you on the flip side of life, my guy.
I don't know why people want to do stuff. You know, I think I'm adventurous. Like I like doing some fun things. But this idea of having to recreate really terrible stuff from the past. And honestly, I mean, what's like the Titanic wasn't terrible, right? I mean, yeah. Those people all drowned in the fucking ICC. How much more dramatic do you want it to get? You really want it? I saw this story a couple of years ago. It was, they were already building it. And I thought, I know lots of people are very fascinated by this, the story of the Titanic. And I get it. It was made into that movie. James Cameron, what was that? 97 or so? It was a long time ago. It wasn't
Rose
exactly.
Rose could have saved Jack. Just say it.
Rose, she could have. He could have. But people love that movie. I mean, it's one of the most successful movies of all time because we love when we can have a beautiful story of romance tied in with a story of absolute tragedy, the highs, the lows, all in one short voyage, ill-fated, historically significant, the end of an era in some ways. So I get why it all lines up and why people are obsessed with it. I saw some people, by the way, someone bought an artifact from the Titanic the other day because, you know, there are like these things go up for sale every now and then.
Okay.
Look like a bell. There's some kind of bell or something that they managed to get off of the Titanic and someone bought it again for like millions of dollars. I thought, wow. It's a weird thing to collect stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not going to criticize any other collectors. We've done some amazing stuff in terms of collectors over the years here and people who've collected weird things. You know, Collectomania was a series that we did where we found out that there are South Africans who collect all kinds of stuff. So I'm not criticizing it, but would you actually be willing to pay for an artifact from some really sad, tragic event? I don't know that I'd want that around, but some people want to create or recreate all of that again. I think,
personally, listen. I think you're just bringing bad luck into your life. Like, why? Like, why would I just go and look for problems? Like, that thing happened. It was a tragedy. And then there it is in my house, chilling like a villain. Like, yeah. You think the spirits of the people that were there are not going to haunt you? Oh, you guess, Anna, you are asking for trouble. Leave things there. Like, leave it in the past. Like, I don't have an issue with people collecting things. But, like, not when it has like some really negative energy with it.
Do you have a problem with what happened yesterday? Because Elon Musk had this incredibly successful rocket event. They took off and blasted into space. This is
again.
But we say again, but this is really an incredible, incredible feat. We talk about humanity and how we're advancing, and you know, we talk about social media and cell phones and. I know he is the owner of X, which is probably the most, let's just say the most controversial, the most immediate, the most interesting, the most dynamic of all the social media sites.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's where his heart and soul is. I think a guy like Elon, it's not about the money at all. For him, SpaceX is where his passion really is. That's what he loves. And I have to say, I saw some pictures yesterday.
Yeah.
They posted pics on X. I'm actually really enjoying being back on there because I've cut the number of stuff I follow, the number of people I follow right down. So I'm not following thousands and thousands of people. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm following a handful of people who I'm really interested in, and I'm getting, if you can curate your lists properly, it's fantastic.
Yes.
So I've really been very conscious of that, and I'm trying to, you know, get the information that I find interesting. And there were so many amazing accounts that were posting the most beautiful pictures of what it looks like to go through the atmosphere,
ooh,
what it looks like to come back in, what it looks like once you cross certain layers of the atmosphere. And I'm just blown away. You know, that kind of thing, I think, like, this is where humanity's cutting edge is. This is where, if I were a billionaire, I'd probably be doing something like that. I wouldn't necessarily be going up there myself, but I would be financing all of that. It just puts us on a level where the things we are doing matter. They're important. They're meaningful. They're powerful. It's inspiring as hell. I can't say enough good stuff about it. Amazing.
No, I'm glad that you got roped in because I remember the first time he actually launched it, we were all in the office watching it. And it's just, I think this is what billionaires should be doing. Like, go around, like, invent things and be like, I want to do this, I want to do that. I don't think you should be recreating the Titanic. I don't think you should be going down into the ocean with a submarine that's basically with a PS controller. Like, don't do that. Use your money for... come on now. I'm sure you have all the money in the world to build a proper submarine and a proper ship that can actually get you from point A to point B without killing people. So that's it. I hope that's the lesson of the day.
Yeah.
Or for the day.
Snipe says, welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show. Like and subscribe. By the way, it has been our first week of being on the Real Network, which is which is what is going to be the home of all the cliffcentral.com content that you have come to know and love. Plus, we're adding new shows to that all the time. A big day today for Simpiwe and the show that she is the executive producer of, which is, of course, the Shady Podcast featuring Warris and PH. An amazing, amazing interview today. It's probably going to be groundbreaking in some ways. It is, and I say this because I don't think anyone has done it this way, but it's going to be Jacob Gedleyhleki Zazuma, who, whether you love him or hate him, has had more effect on and influence over South Africa in the last 15 years than any other single person, for better or for worse, right? And there are, I'm welcoming all opinions on this. But the difference is, here's, that's where the difference comes. And you're going to be there in the room when they do the interviews. So it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't see me on Monday, don't be surprised, Gareth. I'm rocking what I'm rocking on purpose. I have the dog in the car. I'm ready to serve with some coffee or tea, you know. I've been practicing my exit plan. This is always the stretch. I was just using you guys to get to where I need to go.
Well, he's going to be the first major guest on that show. They're going to conduct a part of the interview in isiZulu, which I think is really important because famously, Jacob Zuma is even more charming and erudite in Zulu than he is in any other language. And he probably will let us in to more of what he's got planned with MK, what his thoughts are on, you know, the ANC now. I think there'll be fascinating things to hear from this. And whether you like him or not, wouldn't you want to know this stuff? So yes, Ricky, it is a new company, the Real Network, which is coming out of, you know, the 10 years of amazing experience that we've had at Cliff Central. And we're adding new things. So I'm extremely excited to be doing that this week. The other thing I'm really excited about this week is that our other company, which is the Podcast Party, it's a totally separate entity. The Podcast Party has, of course, been doing all sorts of content around the build-up to the elections. And what's interesting there is that we're also trying to get South Africans to think critically. And there is one person in the world who is probably the foremost public intellectual and is just the most incredible thinker and author and speaker when it comes to matters of international importance. And his name is Douglas Murray. Ooh. And he sat down and spoke to me on Tuesday. We've been hosting him over the last couple of days. He's had lots to say about all kinds of things internationally, primarily, you know, the state of the world, the American elections, which are upcoming, Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Gaza. There's no subject that he's afraid to tackle. He has made a name for himself, not only for being brave and reporting live from conflict zones almost every year of his life, but also that he's been able to tackle complicated subjects and make sense of them and really stand for his position on many subjects. So if you enjoy hearing very, very smart people, then you will love to hear from Douglas Murray. And that's going to be put out today as well on the Podcast Party. Oh, nice. So keep an eye. Keep an eye on social media. We will update you on X, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on all of those. So you can't miss out on a single thing. And of course,
I saw JJ Tabani was also in the mix. So that's fire.
Listen, so we did a big event on Wednesday. It was a closed event. We had 110, 120 people there. And JJ Tabani and I were with Douglas in conversation. I think you'll find it very interesting. And we've still got more coming there. And this is only the first of these big international guests that we're intent on bringing you. So, yes, Bronwyn, it is the Ides of March, the 15th of March today, the day that Julius Caesar got assassinated. Yes, back in, what, 37 BC? On that one. But yeah, there's a lot of cool and amazingly interesting stuff happening at the moment. You basically need to stick to us if you want to know what's going on. There's so much happening, and I don't want you to miss a damn thing. Got it?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, one of the other things I want to talk about quickly is the fact that we've got Ben in today. He's coming in to do some sport for us, and we're also going to have Ben hang out with us until the end of the show. We have plenty to talk about there too, with super bets and some news stories which are worth reflecting on. In fact, one of them I could probably talk about right now. Apparently, the New Orleans Police Department in America is facing an embarrassing situation. Their headquarters, which have been in use since 1968, have become overrun with rats. And the building is in such poor condition, it's been deemed practically unhygienic. Now, that's bad, but here's the real story. Making matters worse, the rats have managed to infiltrate the department's evidence room, which is filled with marijuana. So the rats have been eating the marijuana and getting really, really high. And apparently these rats are just like passed out all over the evidence room. So just when you thought that, that things couldn't get weirder, that's what's going on in New Orleans at the moment.
As you started talking, I was like, okay, this sounds like Alex 2.0. And then now they're in the evidence room. I'm like, oh no, they're eating all the evidence. We can't like lock away the criminals. Can't you know, these things are just high in life now. Like, they're on another level. They're just like, ooh, I could do this life thing. Oh my, oh my word. Oh no. Oh well, no.
Slippery Pickle says it sounds like Durban. Are you sure these are New Orleans rats? Well, I saw a tweet from Justice Malala yesterday where he has been in Itekwini and he says it is a disgrace what's happening in that town. It looks like a war zone, apparently. And I'm sad to hear that. I mean, we've been talking about the decline of Durban for a long time now. But the fact that, you know, respected commentators like Justice Malala have been there and have reported that they've never seen it so bad. Oh. It makes me so sad. It really does. Mapelo says, congrats, Simpiwe. I love that for you. Are you going to be taking any East Rand chickens to Nkandla with you?
No. Not at all, sir. I am as suburban as they come. I'm, you know, like back in the day, I would be considered umfazwe pepa, you know, the wife on paper, the one who is in Joburg and is living in Joburg, and everything is just like, I have the house, I'm driving the car, life is simple, life is nice. Like, I'm not trying to be plucking chickens and running around and I'm not doing that. No, sir. No, I don't have any expertise in that. No.
Yeah. Signet says Becky Taylor has been emulating New Orleans PD with his headquarters. And Carl says Itekwini is the most perfect example of, if you want to break something, give it to the ANC. Well, that's how a lot of people are feeling.
Yeah, it's true. Like, they once upon a time maybe did some good things there and there, but it is an election year. So please, every week I will say this, go out and you must vote. Like 29th May, what are we doing? We are voting, okay?
No sitting at home. I did something interesting yesterday too in the middle of all of this, because really it has been one of the craziest and busiest weeks of my life. And I'm excited about that. I mean, I got home, when was it? Wednesday. I woke up really early on Wednesday morning and I eventually got into bed after midnight and then slept for what, 4 hours, and woke up to come in and do yesterday's show. I was pretty tired yesterday, and don't feel sorry for me. There are people who have much harder life than I do. But we went on a tour of Soweto after the show yesterday. Not that I haven't done that before, But I found out that Jane Malachi, Mum Jane, has never been to Soweto before.
Oh, wow. So she came
with us. And it was interesting to see things. Yeah, it was amazing. It was interesting to see things through her eyes as well. So, you know, she was with us. And then you have Douglas Murray out from the UK and America. And he hadn't been there, obviously, either. So it was interesting seeing the contrast of what Jane was taking in. And where the two of them wanted photographs and what they wanted to hear and what they wanted to know. And we had the most incredible tour guide. In fact, tour guides in the form of Pumi Mashiho, who's, of course, on the show with us on a Thursday. And Pumi is a lifelong Soweto. She was born there. She lived there for most of her childhood, some part of her adult life, and only really moved out when she got married. So she's Soweto through and through. And we went had tea and scones at her mother's house and chemer.
Oh, you drank it. Yeah. Wait, Gareth, wait. You drank in chemer. How was it? Did it?
At the back of the throat. And I loved, I've had it before as well. Okay. So it wasn't new to me, but what was so cool is seeing, like, you know, because there are some things about South Africa that are completely unique.
Yeah.
So you can say, you know, our politics are not unique. There are crappy and good politicians all over the world. There are service delivery issues all over the world. There's corruption all over the world. There are all kinds of things about our story that are not unique. But the actual history of South Africa is completely different to the history of anywhere else. And it was fantastic to see Jane, who lives in South Africa and has never been to Soweto. And you know, she knows a bit about things because she's grown up here. But then to see someone from overseas who is well-read and probably knew some of the stories, but to see him see the places for the first time. I mean, I took this beautiful picture when we were at Cliptown, where, of course, they signed the Freedom Charter. An amazing place that we were the only tourists there, really. There were a lot of people at the Hector Peterson Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And Vilakazi Street was obviously full of people as well. And I think, you know, I didn't stay for the lunch because I had some other stuff I had to do in the afternoon, but they then stayed and had lunch, and it was a really interesting trip. And what's amazing is that we as South Africans, we don't treat our own country as a tourist destination. Some of us do. Some of us are very good at that. I know someone like Ben, for example, he makes a huge effort to get to see many places in South Africa that the rest of us haven't. Most of us go, please, you know, why would I want to do a tour of Johannesburg? Or why would I want to see Soweto? Why would I want to see Pretoria? Why would I want to go to historical sites in Northern KwaZulu-Natal or whatever? And I've now done a few of these things. I've got to tell you, we have so many interesting places to go to. And it doesn't have to cost you a lot of money. If you live in Joburg, it'll basically cost you your petrol and some tips for the tour guides. And they're all there and they know their stuff. That doesn't have to cost you a lot of money at all. Because we always think, oh no, but it's going to be expensive and I have to stay somewhere and I have to book flights. And no, this is right on your doorstep. And once you've been there, it changes your perspective.
Yes, definitely. No, I love hearing the fact that Al Jade was like at Soweto for the first time. My favorite part of anyone's travel story is when they tell you, oh, this is my first time, like Cape Town. This is my first time on a plane. It makes me just so happy because it's like you got to experience something different. And even though you didn't go to like the States or India or cross the border, you got to experience something that was totally out of your comfort zone. And for that, it will always make me smile because you'll never forget that experience. So I hope this is the first for us, Jane. Like, please, you know, don't stop at Soweto. Now it's time to go to the restaurant, ma. and then, like, see how everybody else lives. Because it also, as you said, it puts things in perspective. Like you realize, oh, I grew up in the East End and I think everybody talks like this and I think everyone moves like this. And then you realize just a few kilometers away from you it's a totally different vibe, totally different structure. Like, people move different. I love doing that. Like, I say, this is also, you can call yourself a traveler if you just go and travel in between the city and see. There's a lot to offer in Joburg, I can tell you that much. There's a lot.
I know, absolutely. And I know that this is an election year, so most of us are a little bit obsessed, and for good or for bad. You know, most conversation at dinner in South Africa is revolving around this stuff this year, which is appropriate.
Yes.
But there's also a tapestry of historical wealth and stories of amazing people that we mustn't forget about. And, you know, we get distracted by the modern politicians and we think about the state we're in at the moment. And we must talk about places like Durban, because they're at the losing end of all of that. But right now, there are things that are worth seeing. And if you miss out, that's on you. You know?
Yeah.
So keep an eye out. Keep an eye out, because lots of very cool, very exciting, very interesting things coming up on both the Real Network in the next couple of hours. And the new episode will be launching on Monday. But there's going to be some fresh stuff there. There's going to be fresh stuff on the podcast party. And all in all, we are working around the clock and extra hard, which is why Simpiwe and I are so tired. But we will be bringing you the very best. The best. That's what we do.
The best. Yes.
For sure. All right. You wanted to also talk about something that I didn't know anything about. A guy who ate 34,000 Big Macs. Now, I've heard of these eating contests they have in America. Obviously, you're not talking about this in one sitting. And by the way, can I start at the end and just say, is this man still alive?
Oh, he is. And also, here's like the spoiler. He's very much healthy. His cholesterol has been said to be like all in good shape.
What?
He is a healthy man. And it's not a cooking or eating contest. So this guy he's known for, like, he's broken his own record. So he's like 70 years old. He stays somewhere in the States. He had his first Big Mac about 50 years ago, and he was like, he fell in love. It was love at first bite. And ever since then, that's the only thing he's been eating. And he has probably about 9 Big Macs a day, because he's had over 34,000 Big Macs. He's kept every receipt of it. So there's a receipt of all the Big Macs he's bought. He even, you know, here's the cherry on top, proposed to his current wife in the parking lot of, guess what? Mackey D's.
Wow, he's obsessed.
What's Big Mac? Big Mac, not guys.
Does anyone who woke up this morning and you feel like you don't have a function or a reason to be in society, and you're feeling a little bit worthless, because God knows we all have those days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine if your life was about keeping 34,000 receipts of all the McDonald's Big Macs that you've eaten. That is this guy's life. He has kept, you know, I mean, you talk about detailed people who journal, or people who are very meticulous about keeping their social media up to date, and they tag all the people and they show you the locations and they get the music right. And, you know, those are things that I look at other people and I marvel that they're so good at making all of that perfect. And maybe you've written your life story down and you just haven't had it published yet. Maybe you're the kind of person who just keeps really good records. Like, if I ask you for your latest tax certificate, you've always got it on hand. You're very organized. This guy's organized is only in a tiny category of Big Mac receipts, but he's got every receipt of every Big Mac he's ever bought, and he's very proud of this. Takes all kinds to make the world, huh?
You know, this is where I wish I studied psychology. I'd love to understand the human brain and what pushes someone to do this. Like, what went wrong or what went right? Because let me not judge him. You know, like 34,000 Big Macs is a lot in one's lifetime. But like, what was it about that first bite, you know, that you're like, I need to have this for the rest of my life? And also, like, I could probably understand 50 years ago, he was probably eating the real thing. Like, it was proper cheese and proper, like, beef. Now, it's just all like fabricated things that were made in the lab. It's not the same thing. So are you still like, oh, this is the burger I fell in love with? No.
What a thing to keep a record of. I mean, it's insane. Joking atheist says, I keep receipts of all my toilet paper purchases. Everyone says I'm full of cuck. Very good. Colleen wants to say this. Heartbreaking in the Durban suburbs. Residents doing all we can to keep on top of refuse and responsibly take it to the landfills, doing their best to bring us to our knees. Huge intimidation going on. I'm sorry, Colleen. It really is. It's just so crappy in Durban, honestly. So crap. And this is what happens if you have bad government. When people say it doesn't really have a cost, yes, it does. Durban is feeling that in a big way. And let it be a warning to the rest of the country. That if you vote in assholes and morons, and remember, the Durban municipality, the eThekwini municipality, has been among the very worst in South Africa for probably the last 10 to 12 years. Really bad. No good has come out of it. So you think, we don't need them. It doesn't matter. Durban's also had a very, very rough run of luck. They had the riots. They had the floods. Obviously, there's an economic decline there too. So it's a warning. They're the canary in the coal mine for the rest of us. We got to pay attention to this stuff. Anyway, we won't talk too much politics this morning, and I don't want to get depressed, but Colleen, thank you for the update. We've got Ben in studio. Good morning, Ben. How's it? How are you?
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Yeah, guys, I'll be great once I just sitting here not hearing anything.
Oh, you can't hear us?
See, this is the thing. We don't prioritize the headphones. We have a calamity now.
Hang on a second.
And now, like, the camera that's got me is all, it's like someone's been putting their fingers on it.
Oh, my word.
Just give me a second while I prepare. Right.
We'll have to reintroduce Ben in like 2 minutes.
What the hell's going on there? Simpiwe, take charge of that place. James needs a smack.
I just work here, Gareth. I just arrived. I just arrived. But I think James will have it all figured out in like 2 seconds, you know, like
here's someone new. Sergio says, hey guys, I'm watching all the way from Munich. Great to have some South Africans on a business trip. Wow. You're taking some South Africans on a business trip to Munich. Very good. Okay. Oh, nice.
What people business are trip is this? You know, like, do you, when's the next round? You know, I could also be on that business trip. Just saying, just.
All Simpiwe has is like a trip to Germany.
I have a passport, Gareth. I'm ready. I'm ready to rock and roll. So, you know, I take myself very seriously in life. Extremely seriously.
Here's Joking Atheist says, hey, it's Friday. Let us just smile this weekend. Okay. All right, good.
Yes.
No man says, Sergio, having to listen to you two or enjoying listening to us. All right, very good. Nice. All right, Ben, are you there?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Now there's a delay. So I talk. And then I hear this guy go, I talk.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, no.
Guys, look, I'm trying. I was on time.
Okay.
I know. You're having a rough start to the day, Ben. It happens to all of us.
No, I'm having. This is annoying. I'm having a fine start. The studio is having a rough start. You know what I think is? It's because James is wearing a sporting paraphernalia ensemble, and that was only Ryan's domain. So now we're having this issue. Sorry, Gareth, I can't hear you. It's you have to get me out again.
No, okay.
Backwards and forwards. This is ridiculous.
Okay.
It is true that Ryan used to wear the sports paraphernalia every day, but James is wearing it too. Like, I don't know if he passed on that. That's part of the memo when he handed over. Because he was wearing a Red Bull, like, racing thing yesterday. Do you remember?
Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, my God. All right. I'll tell you what. You guys should get your act together on that side. I'll sort this out. Apparently, they found an enormous volcano on Mars. So while Elon Musk is saying we should go there, apparently they discovered a volcano that just dwarfs anything found on Earth. It's about 450 kilometers wide. One volcano is that's its circumference. I mean, a diameter from one end to the other. They've been studying the formation and composition of this thing. Could reveal clues about the planet's geological past. The volcano is located near a possible sheet of glacier ice, which is another exciting discovery for researchers. Because if they find ice on Mars, that's a very, very good sign. It means there's water. Presence of ice, of course, says that water might have once been much more abundant on Mars than it is today. And in the future, scientists hope to use robots and even humans to explore this massive volcano. Studying the volcano firsthand could provide even more insights into the history of Mars and its potential for harboring life. And people say it could tell us what happened to Mars if it once was a thriving planet like Earth. We don't know for a fact, but people say there might have been a huge amount of water there. It might have been a very different planet. It might have had an atmosphere. Wouldn't have necessarily been habitable to humans because the temperatures there go up and down, and mostly down to places that we would not survive at. But you never know. It could have harbored other kinds of life. There's no way to be sure. See, we've got Simpiwe and Ben on. Are you guys there now?
Yeah, yes. I've got to ask a question about the Mars thing. Does anyone care? I mean, I'm sure the question has been asked. No, but I mean, this whole thing about going to, we're not going to live on Mars.
Oh, maybe you are not.
Guys, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's one of those stories that I think it's just, it was cool.
Okay. I'm surprised by this from you, of all people. You who always says, well, we should be pushing humanity to the absolute limits of what's
on Earth
possible. No, why? Why would you? You see, that's like someone saying, well, why don't we just push the brain? Why push the body? Or why do we draw arbitrary lines here? If you talk about excellence, Ben, you can't make conditions.
No, I disagree. I think there's certain realistic ceilings to everything. So this whole thing about Mars, yeah, it's great, but like this is a, yeah, look, a certain part of you is obviously correct. I mean, I'm looking at this thing thinking, how long is it going to take? 300-400 years, perhaps? Is that a legacy worth investing in? I just don't think. It just feels like one of those like nerd things like, well, I'm going to be the guy who goes to Mars. I just don't think that's, I mean, I want to poll this. I don't think that I haven't got the definitive opinion on this, obviously, but do people actually really care?
I do.
Okay. So
I can tell you that much.
So but two to one here basically is what I'm picking
up. No, but I don't care in terms of I know I'm going to go, right? No, I just care in terms of the development of future generations. And I'm like, even if I don't see it in my lifetime, I get to kind of be in the first phase of it.
It's great.
And
I just
when
don't
they look
see it.
Back in history, they're going to be like, it started all here. That's also the nice part is that when people start looking back, they can be like, oh, so the conversation wasn't just 30 years ago. It was 300 years ago.
Let me explain something else to you guys. The number of scientific advancements, technological advancements we have made as a result of entering the space race in the 1960s has been immeasurable. It's been absolutely brilliant for humanity in so many ways. In fact, there are elements of the internet which would not have been possible without space travel. Satellite technology, which we now just take for granted, is something that was not a possibility before the 1950s and 60s. And if we hadn't done a little bit of space exploration and upper atmosphere exploration and orbiting the Earth, let alone going to the moon and now going to Mars, we wouldn't have discovered half the things that we now take for granted as parts of our everyday life. There are things that will be discovered long before we get to Mars, long before we worry about actually living on the surface of Mars, which is a big, hairy, audacious goal. But in between then and now, there are all kinds of things that humanity will discover. Or we could just sit here and, you know, worry about like our day-to-day problems and talk about things that are that ordinary, uninteresting humans contend with every single day. I mean, we can do both. We can do both.
Yeah, sure. I do appreciate that too. I just feel like it's, yes, all those things, I agree with you. You're like, go into space, do these kind of things. But I just feel like Mars is like that one thing. It's just like, it's that last swing of the deck that I don't think is really going to play back. all theory, Gareth. I mean, I totally get your point here. It just feels like it's that little, it's like two or three frontiers too far to be really beneficial for us. I don't know what we can, I don't know what juice can we can really get from this.
Carl says he agrees with you. I always agree with Ben, even without hearing his argument. I blindly follow him. Run the poll.
See, I mean, that's a suitable way of going about things.
Ben, have they made your headphones too loud?
No, they're okay. I mean, sure? I can hear. So, okay.
Matters.
I don't care if it's perfect.
I also have to remind you guys, like, it was Henry Ford who said everyone will eventually have a car, and he didn't mean every human being on Earth would have a car, but that most people would be able to, at some point, drive in or be able to use a car, and that's very much the case now. People thought he was mad at the time. Bill Gates said he will make sure that every person has access to a computer in their lives that they can actually have in the home and have in the office. That has become a reality for people. We can't do anything anymore without a computer. You carry one around with you in terms of a cell phone every day. And this has become, these are the kinds of things that sound ridiculous and stupid. People are like, why would you want that? When the question's first asked. And then along the way, we figure out that it's actually a really good idea. I mean, Michael has a good question for you, Ben. What if they make a golf course on Mars? Would you be on board then?
Obviously not. Where are they going to get the kind of grass that creates a great golf course? I mean, this is just my point, right? It sounds cool. You can play golf on Mars, but I know it's going to be cuck. And this is the point I'm making, although landing terribly, much like any of the crafts going to Mars. I just think it's that little bit too far for us to be realistically invested in this whole thing. Space travel, go ahead. Do all these kind of things. Harness meteors, mine them for iridium or whatever that's out there. I get all of that. But I just think there's certain levels. And I think in life, be a dreamer. Fantastic. Amazing. Mm-hmm. But pragmatism, if that is a word, also needs to come into the mix. Otherwise, I think we're also just wasting time. You know, this whole thing about follow your dreams, kids. Like, no, actually, you really shouldn't. A lot of the time, you're just going to put you into a stratosphere of nothingness. But there's that fine line. There's that stratosphere. Yes, you can play golf in Dubai because they've got a decent enough atmosphere and they desalinate all the water so they can grow grass, Grant. Well said.
Yeah, but I mean, if I'd said to you, you could build a golf course in Dubai in the 1950s, you'd have said you're insane. There's no grass here. It's a desert.
Yeah, but you can still breathe, Gareth, and you can still, like, for certain months of the year, it's still completely fine and habitable.
Ben, if you've been to Dubai and you have, you know what it's like when you get out of the plane or the car or the hotel room for the first time and you get into that, like, 45-degree heat and you think, this is not a place for humans. We will one day be able to do
it. You don't go there in June. I mean, that's just silly. You go from, like, November to, like, March.
Ben, there are people who live there all year round. What are you talking about? And Dubai is actually, I'm glad Grant brought up the example of Dubai because it's a perfect example. It's like Dubai is so hot that it's pretty much halfway between us and an uninhabitable planet. And yet people have made it habitable. In fact, it's the center of luxury. It is the most luxurious place in the world right now. It's where billionaires go to play.
And it's halfway, right? It's a give and take. Mars is on the other side of that spectrum where there's like fuck all of things you can use. Dubai is like 30-40%.
All right. Well, you know what? We've got a poll. James has put a poll up on the YouTube live chat. You can go and vote in it as we speak. We will announce the results just now. Why don't we get into some sport in the meantime? Let's find out what we can look forward to this weekend. It is time for Beyond the Scoreboard, brought to you by Ben Karpinski and powered by Superbets. What do we got on the agenda this weekend, Ben?
All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you what, it's looking a bit sparse like Mars on the sports front this weekend. There's not a huge amount, but that's also not a bad thing, right? Because what we've got is pure quality. Six Nations, it wraps up this weekend. Last weekend, there was many a cat amongst a pigeon. Put that into Italian or French if you want to be really into it. But it hasn't really shaken up the outcome at the end of the day. Ireland is still going to win this thing. They're always going to be the best team. They are the best team. They think they're the best team in the world, but they lost to England last week. So you guys are back in your box, but you're still an amazing team. So yes, mathematically, which is one of the preambles that you'll get in most people when they go into this, Ireland can still lose the Six Nations, but currently they're on 16 points because they've got 4 bonus points from their matches so far. So even though they've won and lost the same as England, they've got them bonus points. This is the whole thing about rugby. You know, back, I think, in the 90s, they implemented the bonus point system to make it more exciting like this. In the past, you had 4 points for a win, whether you beat them by 100 or you beat them by a Springbok 1. Whereas now is you've got all the bonus points. That's what makes it. And Ireland are a great example of this. So they also have a points difference of 80, which is so much more significant to anybody else. Even if someone gets onto the same points as them, they're still going to lose. So if you want to go through those permutations, I'll give them to you quickly. Basically, Ireland need to lose and get 0 points, nothing. And they lose their points difference and just basically have the cuckest game against Ireland. Basically, they need Ireland to have St. Patrick's Day early and run into that field about 8 Guinnesses in. Not going to happen. But then England also need to absolutely hammer France with a 5-point bonus point win. Scotland need to beat Ireland by about 77 points, which again, can't happen. And then France needs to beat England by about 77 points, provided the Ireland are drunk. So that all sounded like bullshit because it is. And Ireland are going to win the Six Nations. And they are playing against Scotland Saturday, 6:45. Yes, they lost last week, but the Scots are going to get an absolute trousering right now. They just lost to Italy. They're going to go over to Ireland. You can see a green, bright green and drunk. That's all they're going to see. And that's obviously going to fire up the players because that is their heritage. Before that, Wales take on Italy at 4:15. Fascinating match this because Italy have just drawn with France at home. And then they beat Scotland. So these are two really big things. Now, Italy, I think since 2000, I think it was, that when they implemented, these teams came together in the modern era, so to speak, Italy have taken the wooden spoon 18 out of 23 times. Now, that's cuck. That means you finished last, right?
Yeah.
18 out of 23. And that's always going to hang over them. But this year, if they beat Wales, they don't get the wooden spoon. Wales very much gets. I mean, Wales have been pretty shy. They've got such a young team. Most of those oaks will be asked for ID if they walk into any bar in the world. And it shows the way that they have lost 4 out of 4. And last week they took a pasting to the French. But still, Wales at home, they sing well. They've got a lot of pride. Warren Gatland's still going to be some sort of mentor to those kids. Going to be a great game. And then finally, the game France versus England. England, of course, just beat Ireland. So they're probably the world's champions. If that's how it works in Northern Hemisphere. You have one good week, basically the world champion. I don't know. But I don't make the rules. So France, they have just beaten Wales. They had a bit of a shake-up last week with their fullback playing fly half, Ramos. He was incredible, scored a lot of points. Maybe that's a catalyst they need, seeing as they still have no answer for the DuPont void. So France, England, 10 o'clock, that's going to be a great game. Into football, we've got a big cup weekend. So FA Cup, quarterfinals. Now, Saturday, we've got Wolves versus Coventry. So there's like no-name branders, although Wolves obviously are a Premier League team, not a biggie. That'll be a quarter past two. But then you've got a big one, Man City versus Newcastle at 7:30. And then Sunday, we've got Chelsea versus Leicester at 2:45. And then Man United versus Liverpool. So for a team like Man United, who's never going to win the Premier League in the current iteration, they're like the team that won't go to Mars. They have to win FA Cups. This is their shot at glory. They're also not going to win in Europe. Basically, Man United are the Arsenal of like the last sort of 10 years. And Arsenal, or like they won the FA Cup, and that was their big thing. So those are your big FA Cup quarterfinals. Then we've also got the Nedbank Cup last 16. So if you're new to this, the Nedbank Cup is basically South Africa's FA Cup. You get those smaller Nyana teams come through. You get the big ones coming down, and they all have one big scrap. For example, Chiefs took on Milford. No one knows what Milford is. I thought it might unblock your drain, but no, it's a football team, and they beat the Chiefs last time around. So they're playing today against Stellenbosch. University of Pretoria and AmaZulu are already through. And then Saturday, we've got Richards Bay versus SuperSport United at 3, Chippa United versus the Ravens at 3, Pirates will take on Hungry Lions at 6, which just sounds like quite something. And then Sunday, we've got D General versus TX Galaxy at 3, and then Sundowns will take on Maritzburg United.
Hang on, just say that one again, because that sounds so horrific.
D-General. D-apostrophe General. I don't make this up. I promise. I've never once made a name up in the sport.
It sounds to you like two really boring corporations going up against each other. That's what it sounds like.
No, it sounds like a local gang boss. He wanted a football team, and he's just known as the General. That's what it sounds like. Either way, credit to them. They're in the last 60 in the Nedbank Cup. And then last game, Sundowns versus Maritzburg United. So, Pirates are the defending champs. Again, these teams don't win the league because that's just Sundown's terrain, right? So these things are really big. It means a hell of a lot. So you can catch all that action over the weekend. And then we got golf. It is the Players Championship. Now, this is a significant week for the golf because with the LIV going away, taking those players, taking the fanfare, taking this whole thing about the biggest checks in golf. Mm-hmm. The Players' Championship is like the PGA Tour's major, where they've really got to stand up and go, we've still got all of this. We're still the thing. Like, we're still the main swinging dick in this whole golfing world. So the Players' Championship is the biggest money event on the PGA Tour. It's more than the majors. And it pretty much has the strongest field because it is the flagship of the PGA Tour. Now, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, and Wyndham Clark are all in the lead currently at -7. There was a bit of weather going around and some player meltdowns. I mean, it's a really interesting course. There's some really iconic holes. It's all hugely contrived because, I mean, it's the PGA Tour's golf course. They own this golf course. This is their stadium course. They put everything on. So it doesn't have like a history of a major. But you know those courses. Like, it's been on PlayStation games since PlayStation games were showcasing golf. TPC Sawgrass, the Players Stadium course. It's going to be very interesting the whole weekend through. And you've got the best field in the PGA Champs. So you got amazing golf. You got amazing rugby. I just want to throw forward to what we are looking forward to. I mean, every now and again, we get a bit of a lull week like this one. Maybe you spend more time with your family. Maybe you spend more time outdoors. Whatever it is, it's good to have balance. But the Masters, 11th to 14th of April, that's coming up. Ooh. If you are a big gambler, the IPL starts 22nd of March. It's right here. We've got the Australian Grand Prix. That's next weekend, next Sunday. And of course, because Australia doesn't observe Ramadan as their main thing, we'll get a Sunday race. Yeah, you guys thought I forgot that from last week, didn't you? Yeah. And then the UFC. I mean, what's really exciting about this is that our friend Cam Simon is actually going to be a co-main event next weekend. So he is in one of those UFC fight nights. He's going out there. Yes. And this will be the win to redeem his last performance. If you didn't remember, last time out, he is a bantamweight fighter. And the guy he fought against had no regard for the rules, did not really cut weight, went in there much heavier and bigger. And Cam had his first professional loss. So this is going to be his redemption fight. He's fighting as Peyton Talbot. Actual person. And then UFC 300, 14th of April. I mean, this is absolutely gigantic. We've got the URC coming back next week. And if you do like the rugby from a different time zone, Super Rugby still happens. It's just that I don't think we should care. That's worse than Mars in my mind, because, you know, South Africans moved away from Super Rugby. It's like the ex-girlfriend of sport. It was a bit of a toxic relationship. It was quite parasitic. They were taking from us. They weren't really giving back to us. So yeah, I don't forget about Super Rugby. I just think we should move on from it.
Fine. We'll take your word for it.
And to wrap up the weekend, this is something I feel we should be having a look at, right? If you go into Superbets and you play a bit of a cheeky multiplier on the rugby. So I've just given you the preamble of what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Ireland are big favorites. France are going to be favorites to win that one. And I think Italy might sneak it against Wales. Now, to put that into betting terms, Italy at a +6.5, so you get a bit of a handicap there just in case they slip up or in case the Wales come back. I think you would give Ireland the handicap of -13.5. Remember, they are playing St. Patrick's Day weekend. It's basically ordained that they're going to win and then win the Six Nations. And then we've got France, who are, again, the favorites at home, right? And they play late, and this is just their thing. Give them a handicap of give England a handicap of +9.5. So you put that together, put 100 RONT on there, you're going to get odds back around sort of 428 is what I look at. For example, my 100 will get me 543 back because I get a bit of a bonus in there.
Very good.
So play the multiplier. I think give Italy a bit of a chance, handicap, cut back Ireland, and then give England a buffer. And I think you've got a nice little multiplier for the weekend on Superbets. Because golf's hard to bet on. And if you know what's happening in these football teams, then good luck to you. Because I sure as hell am not going to be confident enough to tell you that the Ravens have a chance versus Chipper, or that the Hungry Lions might eat into the Pirates' lead. So up to you.
I got to agree. Like, I also didn't know about half of these teams. Slippery Pickle says, I thought Hungry Lion was a cheap KFC knockoff.
Wait, they have a soccer team?
Well, it must be, because in Zim, Chicken Inn is a soccer team. But Chicken Inn is also a place you go in for chicken.
Andy wants to know, this is a good question, who decided that a rugby match should be 80 minutes?
No idea. Never thought of that before. But it's interesting.
Are they complaining because it's too long or too short?
Well, when you play high school rugby, because you're still a developing man, you'll play, 30 minutes and a half, up to 35 in the latter stages. Mm-hmm. And then obviously big age group, big male rugby is 40 minutes and a half. I don't know. Why is soccer 45? Someone decided And then
someone arbitrarily, we got into it.
And then they took a poll like on YouTube right now. And then this is how life works.
That's it. Okay. So if you want to go and place a bet, Ben's done all the homework for you. He's calculated the averages. You can just get in and start making some money. And of course, Superbet supports responsible gambling, strictly now under 18s. Winners know when to stop, like after 45 minutes or 80 minutes or 90 minutes. That is how it works. South Africa's Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline, 0800-006-008. There's plenty to talk about there. When we come back, I mean, Ben wants to talk about a couple of things. First of all, is there such a thing, and can you actually get your head around the idea of a no-money millionaire? In other words, someone who doesn't need the material things around them. And there are loads of very happy people that we can talk about who have nothing but are able to live like a millionaire. They're able to have experiences, able to have happiness and joy and relationships and things that fill their day with all the excitement that you would think you need to be a millionaire for. Or as Simpiwe and I were talking about earlier, do you need to actually have enormous amounts of cash and all the things, all the luxuries around you? We'll find out, because we've also got to look at the list of South Africa's richest people, which has just been published this week. Who are the richest people in SA? Mm-hmm. So we'll get into all of that in just a short while. Don't go anywhere. Cliffcentral.com. It is just before 7 o'clock. We've got plenty more for you. Ben is here. Simpiwe is here. I am here. And you are here. That's the most important thing.